Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is funky. I like this. Is this Kanye? No. It's a good rejoin.
617-779-0985. Tom is in Quincy to lead off the 1 o'clock hour. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello. I just wanted to let you know that it's all about Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback ever. It's not about Bill Belichick. They've been doing it the Brady way for the last 18 years. I'm telling you, if Brady went to Cleveland, he'd be in the playoffs this year. I'm telling you, Bill Belichick was out coached. He was looked like a fool the last five Super Bowls. He's not a very good coach. I tell you,
I'm just gonna hang up there. I didn't have any more tolerance for that call.
He's making some good points.
Sure was.
Not a good coach. Out coached.
Winner in Cleveland.
Made to look foolish.
Winner in Cleveland with that staff.
Pretty shut up.
What do I do for the next 52 minutes now?
Well, Tom Wiley. Bob Wiley.
You want to talk about Serena Williams?
Yes.
Sure. If that's the type of football call we're going to get today,
athletes,
then yes.
Athletes losing their minds.
Bill Belichick is not a very good head coach. Yeah, nope. Maybe we got to stop talking football. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, 90 seconds or so.
Serena had herself a weekend, huh?
Yeah, she got very upset.
Yeah.
Very upset. Demanded an apology from the umpire there at the U.S. Open. That was her big thing. And that was her big sticking point. You owe me an apology. You owe me an apology. You could tell at some point she kind of lost control of her faculties. She wasn't even really sure what she was mad about.
Speaking in tongues.
I've got a daughter.
Yeah.
I don't cheat. And her coach came out and said, of course we were cheating. Everybody cheats. What are you talking about? Yes, I was trying to coach her.
Fighting for women's rights.
Yeah.
In a women's league.
Actually, that umpire is penalized Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal and a bunch of other men players. He's kind of known for this. You know, he's a bit of a stickler for the rules and stuff like that.
Was she referring to McEnroe from 30 years ago? For yelling?
No.
Good.
But
if it were Nadal or Federer, they wouldn't have gotten what she got.
Oh, no, she's... After you get warned and then you engage in that kind of behavior, you get penalized, you get the point, you get the game.
She became confrontational.
And they've got a history on this guy. That's what he does. He's a little more strict with this stuff.
He's an ass hat.
He is an ass hat.
The guy giving her signals.
He's unnecessary.
It happens with everyone. You think that actually impacts what's going on?
No.
No, she was...
She's frustrated.
She was pissed because she was losing.
Mm-hmm.
She got her ass kicked in the first set. And she was going to lose in the second set. And Serena is one of these athletes where I'm like, hey, she gets a pass. Like anybody else who may have been a jerk in real life at times, whether it's Jordan or Bird or Tiger or whatever, what they do is surpasses what everyone else does to the point where it's like, you know what? Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it and try and ignore, you know, what this athlete might be like on a personal level. But on a personal level, she doesn't give you anything to like about her. Nothing. I remember her going off on an umpire. Was it an umpire or maybe another player? She said, I'm not the one. I'm going to get all... I'm like, oh, my God. Just stop. Yes, you're probably the best to ever play the game.
She gets up there and then they give out the end, and then she wants to make it special for the poor girl that won and had to deal with her throwing the fit.
Right.
So.
I have a daughter. I've never cheated. Well, actually, every time you get coaching from and the fact that everybody else does it too doesn't mean it's not cheating. Still cheating. Not supposed to do it. He called you out for it. And then you throw a hissy fit when slamming your racket on the ground. You get penalized.
What's
and
worse?
You were going to lose anyway.
Well, the biggest thing was she
owe me an apology.
Right.
No, I really don't.
But the reasoning, the biggest thing was that she had called him a thief. That was the reasoning.
Stole it.
I would just say, listen, I'm not a big tennis fan. So
nor am I.
I can't say that I'm going to get as worked up about this as hard as he is.
Or Capello, who sits there and watches 5 hours.
But I would say
hours.
This. Yeah. If you have a problem with how that played out on Saturday, and you're a tennis fan, look no further than the 3 gray hairs that were there to officiate the whole matter and just say, you know what? Maybe our sport's run by a bunch of old people that need to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. True.
Maybe it's your sport and you're in the governing bodies within your sport. Not the athletes, not the players themselves. I don't really think they're the issue. I think you should probably take a look at who's running your sport and say, you know what? I think these people need to get the stick out of their behinds.
It's like your golf thing, too, with Mickelson. You want to stop the ball and it's rolling? I'll stop it. Watch this. Here. You want to give me these cranes? I'll stop it.
No, but Mickelson didn't whine about it afterward.
No.
Saying how he's owed an apology by anybody who wanted. Well, he got let off the hook by the USGA on that.
Yeah, he did.
But he didn't demand an apology from everyone who called him a cheater. He knows damn well he cheated. It's not even the cheating portion of it. It's just her attitude about it. How she...
Entitled.
That's the perfect word. And if you're the best to ever play the sport, a sense of entitlement might come with the territory. Just do a little better job of hiding it.
On Tiger's worst day, he wouldn't.
And keep your stupid fashion lines off my screen. My God. When she was going to debut her new outfit.
Oh.
Or the cat suit.
Not the order one of those.
Or the tiara that she is wearing. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're changing the world. Mm. Good for you.
All right, there it is. What, about 4 minutes there? 4 or 5 minutes on tennis?
Yeah, it was like 2 minutes.
Jim's mad at us. Jim's mad at us for bringing it up and talking about it.
Oh, really, Jim?
But we did it. It was a big story this weekend. It was. Big story. It was a big story.
Led the news. Yep.
It did. You got to give it that. It was a big story. It's not as good of a story as the Patriots win yesterday.
Definitely.
I want to get back to some of my points on that game, with or without your stupid calls, okay? Bill Belichick's a bad call. Be better today, callers. Oh. Be better. The listeners deserve better. You deserve better for yourself on this Monday after a good Patriots win to start the year. We'll get back to your calls. More on the Pats next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
The snap to Allen, left-footed punt, pressure-free, in fact. Sails to the far side of the field. It's a good kick at the 2. It's a high bounce to Jones, and Jonathan has it at the 1.
My God, Ryan Allen. My God. What a kick.
53 yards into the waiting hands of Jonathan Jones.
Now look at Allen going down to find Jones. I mean, that's great, great special teams play where you drive the football. You know the rush is coming. You got to speed up your pace. You get it off, and just that left-footed directional kick with Jones being there. Belichick's going to replay this play 25 times. Oh, the left-footed punter. Hey, could Bohorkis have done it? Is that what he said?
Bohorkis.
He was punting yesterday for Buffalo.
What a kick.
I thought he was on a practice squad. I did. I didn't think he was on an actual roster.
I didn't know he made the 53 man.
No, I didn't.
He's left-footed.
I knew that he got signed elsewhere, but I thought it was a practice squad acquisition, like Cyrus Jones went to the Ravens.
The Belichick's
going to be watching that 25. Yesterday, I commented after the game, like, oh, Ryan Allen. Right, how excited was Bill Belichick about Ryan Allen's punt down to the 1?
Yeah.
I mean, you know that type of stuff gets him going. And I thought, oh, somewhere in practice squad land, Corey Bohorquez is crying, knowing he's not going to make the Pats roster this year. No, he wasn't crying. He was punting yesterday for the Buffalo
paycheck.
Bills.
Get a paycheck.
Who knew? I didn't know. I thought he was on a practice squad. I didn't know he was signed to the roster.
That was a hell of a kick by Allen, because he sped up his progress because he knew they were coming at him. And he drove that. He drove that ball. The way that thing took off, the trajectory of it, turned it over perfectly.
Did you see it? I don't know if you could see it on TV, but it's just like up.
I thought it was going to
turns, dies.
Yeah.
Land. I'm like, whoa.
I thought it was going to go out on a three.
That is skill, man.
It was away from us and down into the corner. And I'm like, he's nailing the sucker inside the five.
Ah, he's good.
Yeah.
He is good.
Yeah, Gostkowski was money yesterday, too. I mean, just right.
Because if you get, see, that's why a guy like Ryan Allen is the guy who's on the roster. Corey Bohorquez is the guy you want. Like, he's sort of one-dimensional at this point from what we could tell. If you're backed up inside, you know, your own 15-yard line, you need to get that thing out of there, and you need to boom one.
Well, you're always going to be.
He's your guy.
Late in the year, you're going to be in these tight games. You know, you're going to be on the road in Pittsburgh. You'll hopefully be playing divisional round, an AFC championship game at home, and it's going to be competitive and tight. Allen's the guy you want back here, not some rookie.
When was the last time you saw Ryan Allen really badly shank one off the side and have a really bad punt?
I can't remember. There was like a couple here and there.
Yeah, but it's not. Happen. It doesn't happen regularly with him.
God, no.
It doesn't happen regularly enough that you even remember one.
No, good pro.
From Bohorquez in camp, like every fifth one he was shanking. He could boot the crap out of it, but then you just see. Doesn't have that same level of consistency that a guy like Ryan Allen has.
Right.
Is Bill O'Brien a good head coach?
I mean, he took a team that really didn't have a quarterback to the playoffs at 9-7, or is that the division? But he still did it.
I've always said he's a good head coach. I've always said that about him.
I think he can hold a room.
You know, I just make that sort of assumption. I know what he did here, and I know that he was a respected member of the staff here, and he's one of Belichick's guys.
I like Billy.
And he's not a bad head coach. Let me just tell you that. He's not bad. I'm not going to put him in the bad category, but have we sort of overrated him as a head coach? And let me point to one specific thing that I just think is completely obnoxious about the Texans. It's the desire to keep Deshaun Watson in something similar to what he was doing at Clemson in college.
Thank you. I said this yesterday.
There are college gimmicks in that offense. Look no further than the very first play from scrimmage on that fumble by Deshaun Watson. That is not Miller at all.
What's he reading?
That is all on the quarterback there.
Here come the ends. They're crashing down. They're going to tackle Miller. I'm going to ride him down.
What are you reading? What is there
pull
to read?
It, pull Here, and go.
Here's the other part of that. Watson's not running.
He ain't ready to run yet.
He's not running. He's not going to take off and run on you. He's not looking to run. In fact, to his credit, he's never been a guy that looks to run. He is a guy who will stand in that pocket and make big throws and deliver the football in the small sample size we got a year ago. But that guy was so impressive for that reason. Why do they continue to do this junk?
I don't know. There's people that just get this in their head. Remember on Denver, and I was like, why the hell do you have Osweiler in the pistol? Or why was Peyton Manning?
Did you see some of this with Chicago last night, too?
Yeah.
They were running this junk, too.
Well, because
what are you doing?
Here's what we're going to do. We got to be creative. Like, we got to get back to what they do.
Nagy.
And you know what?
You bum.
You know what you're doing? You know what Nagy was doing? After I thank everybody, like Aunt Helen and Uncle Chuck and Steven and, you know, my stepfather Bill, I went back and watched some North Carolina tape, and I saw Mitchell. Hey, that's what we're going to call him now, Mitchell. Saw him in that read option offense that they ran when he was a member of the Tar Heels. And just because the kid ran it in college doesn't mean you have to do it. Remember Baylor and the offense Baylor ran and what they were going to do with the Redskins? And how next thing you know, RG3 is getting killed, even though he's putting up big numbers. And then you get shell-shocked as a quarterback. Just because it works for a guy in college. I mean, you look at the way Clemson ran it and the athletes that they had on the outside. And at the running back position and the competition you're playing. It was seamless. Guys are wide open running. This is different. You got ends in this league like Connie can run a 4-4. You got linebackers can run 4-5. They will track your ass down around you when I run that read option stuff. I can't stand this read option.
They went full-blown Tebow last night, though. They shotgun snap quarterback sweep. He just took the shotgun snap and tucked it away and followed Jordan Howard right off the outside.
Yeah. You get the kick.
I mean, that
killed.
Looked like Tebow. The guy, he wasn't even attempting the fake pass. It was
you know
just,
why?
I'm going to tuck it away and run.
Is that you what you
why?
Want your team doing in the NFL?
Do you see how good he threw the ball?
The number two overall pick? No.
Hell no.
You traded up to get the kid. Do you see how well he played in the first half when he was in the pocket and you're throwing and you script it? And it looks good.
Well, the script, he was 8-for-8 for like over 100 yards.
Yeah.
The rest of the game, he did nothing.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to continue to read his strengths because, you know, tall kid, athlete, runs a 4.640, fast, tested out well and strong as a quarterback. We're going to run a quarterback sweep because it works so well throughout the history of this league, the quarterback sweep.
Was that not the classic, like, Andy Reid protege clock management, too, that game? I mean,
crappy,
that was typical. I'm looking at that
pants.
Like, wow, this is exactly what they did.
He's looking at his play sheet there, and he's holding up like this, and he's like, all right, let's go to the section right here where it's like consume time, what can we do to stall, consume time. And it just totally got away from what he did in the first half. That kid on the outside could fly. I forget what the hell his name was. A little sucker caught that deep out on the right side. Almost broke Clinton Dix's shoes.
Oh, Tariq Cohen.
Thank you. Yes.
So back to this game.
Cohen.
Back to the Texans.
Foot screens.
I don't get why they're sticking with this. I don't think they need it. I don't think that player needs it. I know it worked for them at times last year. Get away from it. Get away from it. You don't need that. No one's going to buy that.
Plus, you're 10 months removed from surgery. Is he really ready to run and test the outside and press the edge?
Nope.
Say that guy goes down weird. You want to lose a whole nother year? Look at what we thought was going to happen last night to the Green Bay Packers when Rodgers went down.
He's got the ability to pick you apart. The guy's got that ability. Now, he didn't show it yesterday. He had a bad day. As you said many times on the broadcast, he's not seeing the field well.
And maybe...
But he hasn't played. He hasn't played nearly a year now.
I think that's part of it.
Okay,
he's
just getting back into it.
I think that's part of it, and I think the Patriots are better than what they were last year. Both. Like, they were in a vicinity of all those throws. They're there. That last year, they were lost at times where you weren't within 10 yards of a receiver. Texans went up and down the field on you last year, as did Carolina in the first month. So I think credit does go to the defense on this, too. I think it's a combination. He wasn't 100% ready, and I think it goes back to what Philly's looking at and saying, let's make sure Carson Wentz is right before we get him in there.
Caleb in Uxbridge. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
how you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Zoe?
What's up, Caleb?
I just wanted to talk about the defense real quick because, you know, when you watch the eyeball test, it's that much of a difference from the beginning of last year. I totally agree with you on that part. So I was wondering, you know, do you think that Daboll, he's making that big of a difference, his philosophy, the way he's coaching these guys, the way he wants them to, Flores, you know, to communicate, you think he's making a difference?
Well, you mean Brian Flores.
Brian Flores.
Yeah, I think there is a...
Here's
what we did, too. And I mean, throughout all our interviews being down at camp, we talked to a lot of defensive players. What's different? What looks good? You know, you guys look more active up front. They sort of wanted to talk about it, but really didn't because you never want to be critical of the previous
guy. Because whatever they say is going to be viewed as a criticism of Matt Patricia.
Correct. So, I mean, they were smart the way they answered it. But I'm telling you, there's a different sense of pace and being aggressive when you watch this unit. And
they also...
It's been like that throughout camp.
Made some comments that things have been simplified within the defense.
Like less thinking, where Matt is a, you know, rocket scientist here. I'm going to make you think. And we talked about this with Dorsett, too. You know, some of the production stuff. He said, I'm going out there and I'm finally playing without thinking. You know, you got to think in the offense, but you also want to line up and just let it go. Let it play instead of overanalyzing and thinking and tightening up. And I think there is some of that in defense. I think that's part of what Gilmore went through last year. Am I thinking too much or I don't know what the call is. Communicating. How many times did you talk about that last year? Communication.
Well, he was the guy sorting it out yesterday. Stephon Gilmore.
Making the calls on bunch. That's pretty good.
Yes, he was. Remember that? I mean, those bunches last year were the issue.
Whoa!
It was a mess.
Wow! He's and grabbing now, guys, moving them. You here.
Fast forward a year.
Let's go. Look back to the safety.
And he knows where everyone needs to be, and he's the one telling people where to be.
Yeah.
That is a complete 180 on Stephon Gilmore from a year ago.
That makes you feel good.
That absolutely should make you feel good. And I like what the caller said. The eyeball test. Tell me they didn't pass the eyeball test yesterday. They most certainly
did. You know what we got to do next, too? We got to touch on some of the former Patriots that went elsewhere and signed some big contracts and look at the type of days that they had yesterday. Guys like Garoppolo, you know, Deion Lewis, Malcolm, maybe Nate Solder. Do a little bit of that next.
Oh, okay. All right. All of that after headlines. Stay tuned.
Sports Hub Headlines.
James White with the touchdown reception from Tom Brady yesterday as the Patriots beat the visiting Houston Texans 27-20.
This is a good play call by Coach McDaniels. I just kind of saw the flat open, and Tom ended up finding me. It's just a one-on-one situation. Coaches always talk about just trying to win those and getting the ball in the end zone, and, I mean, that's what I just try to do.
Next up for the Patriots, visit to Jacksonville on Sunday tonight. Two Monday Night Football games. Jets visit the Lions. That's a 7:10 kick. Later on, it'll be the Raiders hosting the Rams at 10:20. Red Sox were up by 3 runs, but allowed the Astros to come back and tie things at 5. It took a Mitch Moreland, RBI base hit in the bottom of the ninth with two outs to give them the 6-5 win over the visitors at Fenway Park last night. The homestand continues tomorrow night, the first of three against the Blue Jays. David Krejci has been scratched in the upcoming trip to China with the Bruins, reportedly due to visa issues. And they're finally finishing up the BMW Championship. Tiger Woods done for the day. Final round 65 puts him at 17 under for the tournament. There are three players two strokes ahead of him right now, still on the golf course. Billy Horschel, Keegan Bradley, and Justin Rose. Headlines are brought to you by the engagement ring experts at Long Jewelers, with engagement rings starting at under $3,000. Long Jewelers, how Boston and New England get engaged. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
On second and goal at the four, there's the fade, and it's intercepted. Intercepted by the Titans. 10, 20, 30, and falling down is Butler as he gets to the 35. Terrible throw.
Niners 3 of 7 on third down, 3rd and 8 from their own 20. Garoppolo, short drop, passes right. It's intercepted inside the 25. Mike Hughes, touchdown! Welcome to the NFL, Mike Hughes. The Vikings lead 16-3.
Gabbert going to give it to Lewis. Bouncing his way, turning his way. Touchdown, Titans! The little man breaks the plane, and Tennessee is within one. Wayne in Rhode Island wants to talk about Malcolm Butler's day. Wayne, what do you got?
What do you got, Wayne?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
What's up, Zoe?
What's up?
Hey, let me ask you. I know it's been said that everybody was like, oh, he should have played in the Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. But what do you think about the Patriots getting rid of him? Do you think he would have been do you think he should be on the team? I mean, I think they were better to get rid of him than to keep him. What do you guys think? I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch. I know that he struggled at different points last year.
I think they got frustrated with him. And I think they didn't want to go to the dollar amount that he wanted to go to, and they agreed or looked at the schedule and looked at the timeline, said we maximize our 4 years, we're going to move on, and we like Eric Rowe for the value that he brings. I mean, there was times where, you know, Rowe's starting over him. You know, I remember being down at the Saints game and, you know, whoa, okay, Malcolm's not in there. It's Stephon Gilmore and it's Eric Rowe. And then Rowe ends up tearing his groin and getting hurt last year, and sort of that helped Malcolm get back on the field. Now, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Malcolm. I thought Malcolm competes and competed hard for 4 years here. And I thought, you know, you come up through the system, you take care of your guys, and I thought he gave you everything he had. Whether he was there or not, I thought he competed well against guys like Antonio Brown, which is huge in this league. But he had some issues yesterday. Now, he had to pick, had a 34-yard return, and then he got smoked by Kenny Stills on a deep post on a read by Ryan Tannehill. Yeah,
didn't he have a pick, and then he stopped a touchdown with that pick?
Yep, had a pick and had it returned 34 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to make plays.
What you just said? Before I said that, I was looking at the game log in this game. I'm like, I thought that stopped a touchdown.
Yes.
My apologies.
Horrendous uniforms on their part. My God. Like, awful uniforms, Tennessee. It's like when you're trying too hard, making changes, got a new coach, getting new players. Let's change our identity and our uniforms. It's like, what are you? All of a sudden, you know, look at that type of team. You thought, that's a team that come out of the gate. You know, they were here in a divisional round. People forget that.
Yeah, until I find out what the issue was with that player, I can't say that the Patriots did right by him. Sorry. Not saying like,
right, but they weren't going to pay him, you know, what he got from Tennessee. I think they tried to pay him 3 years for 30, like the Logan Ryan deal. I think that's a fair contract. I think if you would have given it to him earlier, he would have signed it.
I think if he would have given it to him, I don't know, maybe not right after the Seattle Super Bowl, but maybe the ensuing season when he showed
the next offseason, right.
It's like, okay, guess what? Darrell Revis isn't here anymore, and it's okay.
You're a good young player.
I'm the guy.
Yep. He's 3 for 30.
Showed you I'm the guy.
2 for 20.
To go back to the point, though, of would they be better with him now or without him based on him going to Tennessee? I still think they'd be better with him.
So do I.
But as far as the secondary getting tested. They were tested by one guy yesterday, and they certainly passed that test, and that's Stephon Gilmore playing great.
Yeah.
But beyond that, when are they really going to get a test? So now they've got Jacksonville up next, and two of the top three receivers from that team a year ago are not there. Marquise Lee's done for the year, okay? So he's out. Allen Hurns is in Dallas now. That leaves them with Keenan Cole as their top receiver going into the year and going into this week's game.
Fournette left with what, a hammy?
So
you're going to be forced to kind of throw the ball a little bit, right?
Maybe. What if Fournette's okay? What if he comes back? Yeah, then it's Fournette.
But right.
It's not about the secondary again.
Right.
Week three.
But you know how those hammies go.
Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
And the receivers in Detroit might be the first test of multiple guys.
Can't wait to see them tonight.
And multiple receivers who can do some damage.
Yep. See them tonight.
To get take a good look at this passing attack tonight of the Detroit Lions.
That's right.
See what you got here, because this
early
might
start too.
Yeah. What time does it start?
7:10.
Perfect.
Take a look at this team tonight, Patriot fans.
Take a good
scouting report.
Hey, speaking of number one receivers, number one receiver for the Patriots going into this game until Julian Edelman gets back is Chris Hogan?
No.
Going into the game before the game yesterday?
Yes.
I would say
what
Dorsett.
What happened? Now you do.
No, but I said I could see that where from a speed and possession guy, I think they were going to, if I need something, I'm going to go to Dorsett.
What happened to Chris Hogan yesterday?
I think you could play man-to-man and D him up on the outside is where you're going to find.
And just shut him down all day?
You're going to find one and two corners can D him up a little bit and sit on him. Dorsett's a guy.
He was out there. He played 68 snaps.
He was targeted 5 times, only had 1 catch.
Ugh. Yeah, like Dorsett and Gronk, Brady was pretty much perfect almost, too.
Mm-hmm. He was perfect to Dorsett. 7 of 7 targets. Yeah.
7 of 8 to Gronk, 7 of 7 to Dorsett.
Yep.
Not such a great day for Hogan.
Or Patterson. Again, did he play?
Well, okay, now that.
A couple things, though.
That is something you should look at and say, it's pretty obvious.
What's your expectation?
That he is not a full-time receiver.
Right.
At least not now. Maybe someday he will be.
Aren't they setting things up with him, though, for down the road, showing those plays?
Seems like it.
They want to put some things on film so they can attack it and go a different way next time.
Even the jet sweep kind of felt like it was odd timing to me. Like with the call, we were like, okay, well, they ran that. That's what they run with him. Get ready for a fake.
Well,
and
they faked it to him, and then they ran it,
yeah. it
with him.
It appears that they saw that coming.
But
good analysis.
I mean, putting things on tape, though, is not going to make him into a full-time receiver.
No, but what if he can be a decoy and then Hogan's wide open on the other side of the field next time they do this? Don't you picture him as a gadget player anyways? Do you picture him as a full-time guy?
I just don't know that he's going
to
command.
I picture him like a Dante Stallworth type to me.
I just don't see him changing coverages on the other side because he's on the field.
Like a 2 or 3 route runner.
Why? If you don't pay attention to him, he can go to the house if he takes that jet sweep.
You're welcome. Did you see him make guys miss yesterday? He was pretty good. He was pretty good in space yesterday. I know Brandon Cooks couldn't run it like that.
I'm skeptical.
I'm
skeptical of
punts?
That.
I said this on a broadcast yesterday. Like, why is he strictly relegated to just kickoff?
They are completely different skills. You know that. Players who have done them have talked about it.
But
players
just catch the ball, though. Not even run. Just catch
players
it.
Players have talked about that a bunch of times, that they're not the same thing. Guys can do one and not the other. You know how many punt returns he has in his career?
One.
One. Yeah. How many kickoff returns he's got?
A lot.
Over 150.
So you're saying he's a kickoff returner?
He's
only a
kick returner. That's what he is. I think that's you don't see a ton of guys who do both. There are some guys who have done both, but it doesn't seem to be in his skill set. It is a different skill, though. There's more involved in punt returns. There's more decision making involved. There's more awareness needed. Your hands need to be really good. There's a lot that goes into that.
I agree.
That's why.
Sort of understanding.
That's why Edelman's been good at it. That's why
Savvy
Amendola's been good at it.
Got to be savvy.
You got to be able to take a hit and hang on to the ball. All of that has to happen.
A little bit more important.
I don't know that Riley McCarron is that guy. My doubts based on yesterday.
Yesterday, I'm at camp.
Based on everything.
Yeah.
You want to take Mabel quick? Got to be quick,
yeah,
Mabel.
Yeah.
Quick.
After yesterday, sure.
Okay. 0-16. What do you think? Are they going to win a game?
No, they're going to win games.
What's going on? What are they going to win? Did you see the game yesterday?
Yes, watch the most of it. I got you at like 8-8 this year. You're gonna struggle all year.
Okay. Did you see the third and seven? Did you see the third and seven play when Dak had an open field and he threw it to Blake Jarwin and totally missed him like there was nobody around him? Like, what's going on?
What do you want to run at every play? That guy's going to get killed at some point, Mabel.
Where was Zeke yesterday? Where is the team yesterday?
When you've got no other offensive threat, you got no receivers. Sack it and go at him.
No tight end, no receivers.
Dak looked scared. He looked like he didn't know how to play football yesterday.
Yeah, he's not scared. He's frustrated.
I swear to you. 0-16. I would go, let me tell you this right now. I would go 0-16.
Look at you turning on your team.
The coach.
Okay. They're not going to fire the clapper.
You should have fired the coach 2 years ago.
That's your problem.
That's stating the obvious. You should have your owner sell the team. You might be on your way to something better than what you've got going on there now. The Cowboys are in trouble. Good luck to the Cowboys. Good luck to the Cowboys fans.
They got the Giants next week.
Coming up next, today's takeaways, which includes moments from yesterday's Patriots broadcast that are not to be missed. Stay tuned.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
You can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time for today's takeaways brought to you by Weekend 180 Weight Loss. Take away excess weight for life. Official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox, who did not get swept. But that game last night. 3:45. 3:40. A long one.
Was it that long?
I think so.
What time was it when football ended?
I don't know. You texted me and it was...
I texted you.
Right when it happened. Right when the game ended.
Football game ended around 11:30, I think.
Was it that late? I thought it... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Just a long day yesterday. Long day.
Brutal.
All right. Let's get to what we have.
Yeah.
We got some stuff from today and from yesterday. Let's start with why don't we start with Tom Brady? He doesn't have the TB 12 times anymore. That's gone. But he does have this on Instagram.
Week one, lots to work on, but a great team win. Let's go.
That's a pretty good usage of some. Let's go. And then,
scared of hell.
Is it?
It's like Jim's.
Is it?
It's no. A gym sound effect.
It's a gym firework thing.
That was a gym loud quality sound effect.
Like, boom, I ducked. Like, woo, lightning.
Week
strike.
One, lots to work on, but a great team win. Let's go.
It's like Wile E. Coyote there, you know, getting blown up by the Roadrunner.
It's like, that's a bear over there. It's a bear.
That's what he's going with, Tom Brady, in place of the TB times or TB 12
times. Yeah, the TB
12. Stop it.
Weirdo.
Let's go to yesterday's.
Funny in turn.
Yesterday's broadcast, Paulie got a shout out, Paulie from Dedham, on the game broadcast. So gave him a shout out.
Hill didn't play much special teams for the Bengals. Said he enjoyed it after coming over to the Patriots on a one-year deal, and now he's going to stay on at running back.
I got to just acknowledge Paulie and Denham's down here in front of us, so just wave so he just stops yelling right there. Talk to him tomorrow, 10 to 12. Tell him Beetle.
10 to 12.
10 to 12.
The new show time.
Thought we were only on for 2 hours.
Post-game.
Thought we had Bruins matinee.
Got a great mention from Murray here. Great nickname from Murray for Riley McCarron.
that was brutal. I thought this team cut Cyrus Jones. Now they have Irish Jones and Riley McCarron. I'm assuming he's Irish with that name. But yeah, a brutal play.
That's a good one, Murray.
It's just nonstop bits
Irish
over here,
Jones.
Beetle.
We're going to start calling Riley McCarron Irish Jones. Love that. Such a good name. So good. Also, during a break yesterday in the action on the field, they played Roll with the Changes in stadium. And Hardy was with us in the booth. So
I was coming back from half, I think.
Well, whatever it was, all three of us were there.
Good break, long break.
There was no broadcast of the game happening, and we're all there. And what did you catch on the microphones?
Oh, my God. Lost it.
Who's saying? Is that Capello?
That is Capello.
What a nut.
That is. You really only hear Zoe there, thankfully.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I lost it.
But the people down in the stands, they look back at the booth when they played the song.
Yeah.
They knew.
They knew. They were looking for it.
Pavlov's dog. Pavlov's dog.
See, Louth can claim Josie and Your Love.
Mm-hmm.
Is that becoming a thing?
Not even my favorite song.
That one's mine.
It is.
That's yours. That's an already
speaking
one.
Of the fans who look back,
the fans.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know how this sounds played back, but I can tell you that when this happened yesterday,
my head spun like a Lexus.
I immediately perked up and looked at Zoe, and Zoe spun around and looked at me. So play it.
As we near the 8-minute mark in a 27-13 New England lead, fans in full throat in the season opener, and the Texans try to get aligned offensively.
No, it didn't. He said fans.
Fans.
Nope.
Why does it not sound the way it sounded to us yesterday?
I think we're still looking for it.
Because he said it, we're like, we got one.
Fans in full throat.
Fans.
Play the Rons.
Fans. I think it's a recovering Ons.
Ons.
Person. You know, he's trying to make sure he doesn't say fans.
Fans. Put your hands together.
Fans. Damn.
I'll take that.
No.
They kick it away here, Zoe, or they bring out the Hans.
I think Bob's mad at me, by the way.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
He's mad at me. I told him pregame that Nance is better than him.
What? Well, why would you do that?
Well, he was bitching about how Nance got a different lunch delivery than the rest of the broadcast booth. There's like six or seven booths in there. He's mad that CBS, and he was joking, that CBS was getting a delivery of lobster rolls. Like, they got a separate lunch than the rest of the media gets.
Yeah.
And I said, well, no offense, but Nance is better than you.
He wouldn't get mad at that.
I don't know. He seemed to take offense to it.
Did Bob call the Masters this year? PGA Championship.
Final thing we have today in takeaways is Hardy imitating Sarge earlier in the show.
Oh, my God.
10 to 12. 10 to 12 is the show, though. All right, let's go home. Great show. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hardy, Sarge, Sarge.
Hardy, you good? Well, it's 12:02. I'd like to,
thank
Jim Lyles and Tom Morgan.
Tom T-Bone Morgan.
And take some calls.
Nope, not doing that.
How much time? How much time, Jim?
Why don't you get that Hub headline ready, and we'll come right back and continue this.
We'll have the headlines, and
are you really done?
Talk some sports. We can talk Patriots. We can talk Red Sox.
Nice.
Oh, you don't like it? Oh, there's someone on Twitter that's like, why don't you go back to your basement, pal?
Yeah, feed your meatloaf.
Yeah. You know, your mom's calling you. You're going to dishonorable discharge
cut
for
your
you.
Grass. Why don't you go cut your grass,
Why don't you go cut your grass? I'm sure you got some grass that needs to be cut.
That's a zinger.
Okay. Sarge.
Four minutes of time. You think he would have just buried WWE, man. Just 4 minutes of his own. Go.
Yeah, just talk wrestling.
Couldn't do it.
Right.
But he's got a podcast.
Crossover? Lover? Anybody coming in?
Murray?
No.